Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, text 16, right? Okay. Kvachit kala vishrami Rajakula Rakshasa Parita Priyatama Dhanasu Pramritaka Iva Vigata Jiva Lakshana Aste Sorry, it's not really poetic. Kvachit kala vishamita rajakula
Kvachit kala vishamita rajakula
Raksha saparita priyattama dhanusha
Raksha saparita
priyattama dhanusha Pramitaka iva vigata jiva lakshana aste Kvachit kala vishamita rajakula Raksha sabahita priyattama dhanusha Pramittaka iva vigata jiva lakshane astaye Sometimes. Kala vishamita.
Kala vishamita.
Made crooked by time. Rajakula.
Rajakula.
The government men.
Rakshasa.
Rakshasa.
By those who are like carnivores.
Human beings.
Aparita.
Being plundered.
Priyatama,
most dear.
Dana,
in the form of wealth.
Ashu,
whose life heir. Pramartikaha, dead.
Iva,
like. Vigata jiva lakshana. Bereft of all signs of life.
Aste.
He remains.
He remains.
Translation Prabhupada by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada Ki Jai. Government men are always like carnivores, demons called Rakshasa, man-eaters. Sometimes these government men turn against the conditioned soul and take away all his accumulated wealth, being bereft of his life's reserved wealth. The conditioned soul loses all enthusiasm. Indeed, it is as though he loses his life. But the word Rajakula Rakshasa is very significant. Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled about 5,000 years ago. Yet government men are referred to as Rakshasa, or carnivores, demons. If government men are opposed to a person, that person will be bereft of all his riches. which he had accumulated with great care over a long period of time. Actually, no one wants to pay income tax. Even government men themselves try to avoid these taxes. But at unfavorable times, income taxes are exacted forcibly, and the taxpayers become very morose. That's the purport. So this is a simple description of the Kali Yuga, the age we're living in. Srimad Bhagavatam, it points out everything, circumstances we're living in this age. Even Krishna explains that this material world is a place of misery. The Kalaya Asasatam, place of suffering. And no one can say that, you know, we're having a good time here. You may have a good time, but that's very short term. The world we're living in is 99% is misery. And people are hoping that they will have a good time. Prabhupada used to say, hoping against hope. So we are bombarded with all kinds of miseries of life, and Prabhupada explains here, people work very hard and government men, they're extracting the taxes from you. And they're working out to make less tax, but that's not going to happen because they always talk about it. Oh yeah, next year we'll make it less for you. But at least they're giving it back here. In Australia, other places, they give back the tax, and better road, some facilities, some places like India, and they don't really care for people that much. You can see, you travel from Calcutta to Mayapur, the road is so bad for the last 30 years, they haven't fixed it. So there is money, but it's going into government pockets, the people's, the politicians' pockets. So there's so much cheating in this world. In this material world, people are not honest. So, people have to try to work so hard to try to live comfortably in this world, but still, even so, it's a very difficult place for everyone. Even the even the government people, they try to make it easier, but even so, there's always hardship to try to make everything smooth, to make easy for people's livelihood. But the problem is greed. Someone is taking too much and then others don't get it. So there's actually enough in this world to go around. As soon as you leave Melbourne, you will see so much land. You can drive so much land, India, all the countries in the world, but everyone is coming to the city, they're cramping into the city, try to live here because want of wealth, want of livelihood. But there's plenty of everything. But someone is taking so much, others are getting less. So that's greed. So why do we have to tax people? Because there's greed, people are taking so much, there's no equally sharing the wealth. Each person has one car. If five people are home, everybody has their own car. And then there's pollution, traffic. They don't have a system where they can reduce the problems. That is the problem, is that the car salespeople, they're selling, the car company, buy more. They just push from everyone. And the government is taxing them, so they're getting their revenues. And then, so this way, it's a very vicious circle we're living in. So, government is taxing the car company, And they're selling it. So everybody has their own car. And then there's just too many cars on the road. And then they have to build a tunnel because there's too many cars on the bridge. But when they build the bridge, the tunnel, there's still going to be, the problem's still there. Because the greed. The problem is here. We have to take away that greed, become simple. Simple living, high thinking, Prabhupada used to say. So five people in home, five person has a car. And they're going down the road from here to the beach, and then they take your car. You can go for a walk. People are so lazy. So when there is comfort in life, it discourages people from austerity. They're dependent on too much, on material life, livelihood. If you have one pair of shoes, then you want another pair. So you go to the shoe shop, and you're still bewildered with so many shoes. You don't know which one you want, and you walk away without anything. You're bewildered. But we think we are getting a bargain. After all, there's still anxiety in all of us. Despite all this wealth, despite all the facilities in life, still there is anxiety. So, government is taxing people because they also want more. They want to give back, what are they taking for themselves? Who knows? So this is the situation in the material world. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means everyone is full of problems. You can't just take the problem and put it away. Problem is there. Okay, we have the coronavirus 1, now the variant 2, variant 3. And then they bring the vaccines and then getting blood clots from the vaccines. It's not helping. And then that's finished, some other thing will come. This is the situation of this world, this material world. And Krishna already spoken in Bhagavad Gita that the material world is a place of misery. But no one is taking it seriously. They think, I'll give it a try. He'll get better later. Everyone is saying this. Next year will be better. So this is where the illusion, the Maya, illusory energy of Maya, is called the covering potency. Throws a net, and we're under the spell of Maya, the illusion. We're thinking, it's very nice here. I love it here. I see people, there's only one guy, one boy, one girl, husband and wife. And the mother. So they have one house here, one house there. They have everything they need, plenty of money. So when you do a home program, they'll give you $200 as a red packet gift. Because they have a lot. But every time I saw them, they look very miserable. How do you all grow? They can't even smile. Maybe they have too much money. So when you have material things, it's not that you're going to be going around very happy. Happiness is not come from me. It doesn't come from material things. Because people have material things, but they're not happy. Happiness, real happiness comes from the soul, from the heart. Nobody's looking to the heart. Everyone's looking out, elsewhere. Happiness comes from Krishna. How many devotees here? We're not millionaires. We're very simple people. But we're really happy. You go to India, the children, they're playing in the dust with twigs from a tree. Very happy. They're playing in the roadside. And you come to Australia, America, they have a big house, and the kids, they have a special toys and running train. But they're so miserable. But those people in India, they're just as happy with not much in their life. They are really, what is description of happiness? Less or more, it doesn't matter. The point is they're happy. So the thing is, the more you have material things, it doesn't make you happy necessarily. It only makes you miserable. have this watch here, you know, Seiko, then I'm thinking, oh, I want an Italian watch. Because there's a big one shop, and they purposely put it in the window. So people, oh, look, so there they put the best ones to make it attractive. So I was looking at it, well, saying, oh, I had this for a few years now, and it's a new watch. It's still working. This is the illusion. Even as us guys, the devotees, you know, we say, oh, you know, I need a better car, my car is getting really old. And some people, I've seen, they have a really old car. They want to go back to 1950s. They're going down the road. So nobody is happy. So, greed is what makes people, you know, this is usually Maya, make you think, oh, I want. You're running for it. But you're not happy. We are just like the people, they put the watch in the window. So Maya is putting in front of us, ah, oh, come, very attractive. Very attractive, oh, go for it. Once you have it, not too late. Like sometimes family life, for example. Before you had so little, you live in the ashram, you know, simple, we have just, bare necessities of life. You wake up for program and you chant, very nice. Everything going well, taken care of, then you get married. From this much problem become this much. But you're thinking, oh, I mean, it's going to be better. And everybody's doing it, so it's okay. You know? But have you actually talked to those people? They'll tell you, don't do it. You're bogged into the mud. You have this thing called quicksand. You heard that before? Quicksand. You fall in the sand, and you try to get out, it gets more bogged. And then the crocodile comes. What's left are gone. You can't run away. So material life is like that. Quicksand. We are thinking, oh, I have a good time. Tears coming from the eyes, and there's coal in the family. Work so hard. I give talks on their family devotees. Sometimes the Mataji says, can you preach to my husband? He's too unhappy. So I'm going around, you're too happy, you talk to him. Something wrong with him. Why are you so unhappy? That's why we go on Harinam, we see. What we have to give to people, we have nothing. We just wear some robes. You know, in a long time ago, in the early 80s and in the 70s, they used to say, you guys are wearing bed sheets. They didn't have proper dhoti in America. But they were so happy. But you guys have so simple clothes, but you're so happy. So, the devotees, we can also be very illusioned by material energy. We're always checking out, this food is not good, I want this better food. So we have to cook for you. So there's always Maya is in front of us, weakling. Come on. And we're attracted by it. In India, in the rainy season, those who live in Mayapur during the rainy season, they have these flies, moth. Big flies. They have big wings. They love the electric light. They all go for it. So we come from Mangala Arati, it's a big pile of moth under the light. They're attracted to the light. Once they go in so hot, they die. And they fall there. So the big pile under the lights, all these lights, these moths. So we're attracted to enjoyment and we burn ourselves. Ouch! Why did I do it? So, Bhagavatam is giving us these instructions, waking us up. This is the guru, the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, the devotees. They're giving us this knowledge to wake us up, waking the soul, the realities. Why the Bhagavatam have to say this, taxpayers, this? But he's telling us that there's a better world, spiritual world. Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, there's a spiritual world, there's no need of sun and moon or electricity. Self-effulgent. Can you imagine that? You know, Krishna's time 5,000 years ago, they didn't have any electricity back then. But Krishna's life, Krishna's was stealing the yogurt, was kept, the gopis made. He was stealing it, the butter, from the room, hanging in the rafter. So then, Krishna was wearing the jewels because there's no electricity. So they're thinking maybe there was lighting up because from the jewels he's wearing. They were, the gopis were saying. And so actually Krishna doesn't have to wear anything, still there is light because he is all the light in the world comes from him. He's the source of electric or sun or moon. That's my point. So they have these jewels they put in the walls that light up before. And the British came to India, they took the jewels out. Queen wear it now. Kohinoor. You know, before all our temples in India, very ancient temples, was lit up by the jewels. I went to one of the Taj Mahal and there's gap on the side of the wall. They only have the color stones. And this big hole, there's to be diamond there. They took it out. The diamond they took out, they just keep the color stones. So before, the old temples were made from gold and jewelry that light up without having to put electric light. Or they use the ghee wicks. So Krishna's body was always very effulgent. So he was stealing the yogurt, so they thought, it's light coming from his body. They were right. So the spiritual world is full of effulgent. People don't have to worry about paying bills. We're paying the electric bills. You work so hard. I remember a few years ago when I first came here, I was paying gas and electric bill, like maybe once in a while, $80 or less. Suddenly, they sent me a big bill like this, $450. I was so angry. So I called up, I said, "You guys, you think I'm just coming from China? That I can speak English and then I've been here, you're trying to cheat me." So I took them to the combustor, you know, the company. And they said, "So what do you want us to do?" I said, "Go back to the old bill." You know, they thought I was going to just, pay them $450. You know, they were talking to the wrong person. And I did it. So they were trying to cheat me. And some people, they didn't say anything, they just keep paying. Even if it was big bill like that. So we're dumb in the material world. We're like those donkeys, they work so hard, they put big bags on their back, and they can hardly walk. And then they don't get, there's so much food, grass, and healers, they can go on and help themselves, grass, but why do they have to work for someone? And at the end of the day, they give them grass and carrots and something to eat. We are like that. We are laughing at the donkey. We are like that. You see people on the side of the road. There they are, begging for food and things. Well, here they can join here and just do service to Krishna. I will take care of you. No. I'm happy here. They're suffering like anything. There's one guy in Calcutta, we said, "You join the temple, we'll take care of you, we'll do puja, service, devotion, service, everything. But you have to give up four principles. No meat eating, no sex, no gambling, no intoxication." He said, "I can give up all those things except bidi." You know, bidi is a smoke. And in India they make it homemade. He said, "I can't give up bidi. I'll just be on the side of the road beg, but I have to have my bidi." So people will suffer. They don't mind suffering. They're used to suffering. So that's why, Bhagavatam tells us people are like those donkeys. We need to wake up. The devotees, we are telling you, wake up to the knowledge.
Wake up, Jijago. Wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up from ignorance. In our time, in the 70s, they used to beat us with a stick. Yeah, really. Those were from the United States and Europe. They couldn't take it. I said, it's my karma, I could accept it. I was born in India, so I could accept it a little bit. Some of them said, they wanted revenge. I could revenge too, but I thought, what the heck? It's my karma. I suffered a little bit. I accept it. But those other guys, they just couldn't take it. They said you have to wake up in the morning, take a cold shower. There's so many things you have to do. And so, in our time, taking cold shower in India is a joke. Because they have hot and cold. Hot one doesn't work. They just put it there. I'm mucking around with it. And it's not even a drop of hot water coming out. I said, what this? Because I came to Australia, I was just now only 16. And then before that, we didn't worry about hot water because in Bengal it's always hot. It didn't get too cold anyway. And we knew how to make the water hot. And we put mustard oil, so when you put the cold water on you, you don't feel it cold. It just slides off. Plus mustard oil is very heating. It heats the nerves. So then they said, you really want a hot shower? Huh? So my friends were saying, yeah, I want a hot shower. So you have to get up 2:30 in the morning because they have this electric thing. Metal, you put it in a metal bucket and it boils the water. And it's a big trip. So we find a metal bucket. They have plastic bucket. So you put one in and then the plastic bucket melted. And then I thought, I just go into the shower, 2 minutes I'm done. It's such a headache. So you have to get up early, find the metal bucket, and sometimes you can electrocute it. You can just get up, put the mustard oil, take a shower and finish. So, so much headache. So, when I came here, it was so good. I was living in the ashram in Sydney, and I never seen a carpet floor, because we were in the temple, like marble floor, or a dirt floor, or cow dung, like that, in the countryside. I said, wow, carpet, that's fantastic. I said, people say, you need sleeping bag. I said, no need, it's already you can sleep. Carpet's good enough. So I was just lying there after a morning program, I was tired. I just go to ashram and just crash out on the carpet. I was in a really good time. There was hardly any austerities. And then we were in India, we don't have any refrigerator in the ashram. So they have a big refrigerator. And then we open the refrigerator, have sweet rice, rasagulla, so many things. But everybody put their name on it. So nobody can touch. I said, that's a good idea. So I bought prasadam from the temple, I put name. You know, they have Janmashtami, they have big festival. They have so many types of food. And then I put my name, it was there, no one was taking it. We were respectful to your, In India, maybe they take it and I put your name, so. And then, I thought, I love it here. I don't want to go to India again. So I'm staying here in Australia. Then, a week later, they said, Prabhu, you need to go on Sankirtan. They didn't tell me about going and selling books and doing some hard work. So then I thought, I was wrong. There's all this thing, but you have to pay for it to work for it. So nothing is easy. But, you have to see everything, the realities behind. Not think always enjoyment. Nothing comes for free. But Krishna is giving it for free. You know, when you eat your apple and your vegetables, sunlight, the moonlight gives a taste into vegetation. But you don't think about it. That's for the cold. And you get the best looking apple, made in Japan, the big one, shiny, they coat it with something. But Krishna's mercy, by God's mercy, if there was no sunlight, there's no moonlight, there's no flavor in the vegetables. Somebody gave me a zucchini. You know zucchini? In India, the pin is this size. Somebody gave me, I had to carry it on the shoulder. It was so big. They said, oh, I grow in my backyard. I said, wow, how much chemical are you putting? It's no natural goodness. They put so much chemical, it just looks big. But when you taste it, you have to put packets and packets of spices to make it tasty. I know all about it because I'm a cook. And when you put cauliflower in India, it's this size. Come here, this huge cauliflower. Because of my head. And then when you cook it, that thing doesn't have any flavor. So what I'm saying is, everyone is trying to create an artificial way of life where Krishna has already given us the system for us to enjoy. Do you want to enjoy? Enjoy, it's already there, everything is there. And then he sent a bill. You know, sunlight is there, the moonlight is there, everything is there. In the heavenly planet, there is an ocean called a milk ocean, right? Ocean of milk, in the spiritual world. Imagine you go down the Albert Park on the beach, and suddenly the whole ocean turns to milk. Are you going to come with a truck to get all that milk? And buckets. And then people start cooking, you know, making a paneer and cheese. Right there. That's why there's no milk ocean here. And the government will seal it off. Ah, this is the government property now. If you want milk, go to coast. Yeah. So they're making money what's already given to us by God. So you make a zucchini this size, it's fine. Who gave the sunlight to grow that? God. And then you send a bill because your electricity is up. Krishna says, all the light and all the fire, I am the creator of all that. By His mercy, from Him comes. So any light, any electricity, it's all because, all any fire, it's all creation of the sun. So I heard some place in Europe, there's no sunlight, 6 months a year. I said, I'm not going there. No sunlight, 6 months a year. Imagine like, oh, you sleep all day and night. What an ignorance. Luckily we have day and night, so we can be up daytime. And so some people, they sleep till 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I want to try it one day. I said, I'm going to stay up all night and I want to sleep all day. So then, I woke up at 12 o'clock. I opened the curtain, the sun outside. So some people, they sleep. So this is when I was very young in India. We had to get up like 3 o'clock in the morning and 1 hour nap in the afternoon. And so we never got enough sleep. So I said, I'm going to sleep until all day, wake up in the evening. So I went to sleep and I woke up when the sun was setting. I said, wow, it's time to get up. But I thought the sun is rising. So I slept the whole day. So some people, they sleep all day and they work at night. We are meant to sleep at night and work daytime. So we're putting everything upside down. Why people are sick? Because we are doing everything what's according to what God's given us. We're doing our own program. So that's why you need to understand things more clearly. Life is meant for austerity. Life is meant for God consciousness, not for enjoyment. Really. You can enjoy in a nice way. How much can you enjoy anyway? Just a few days ago, we had a birthday party for a devotee. And there was food everywhere, all over the table. You can smell it from down the road. They're making all French stuff, you know, the French stuff there from Mauritius. And so I think, wow. I walked in, I just had a little bit, and I was already full. You know, they came. There was so much food everywhere. Everywhere you look, on the table, on the bench, this is food. They were making cakes on a table. So then, this is a birthday party. You have food everywhere. And then we had snacks. Some people were really going for the snacks. They didn't tell them about the main course. And they were already full. They said, oh, you didn't tell us the main course. And when they came out of the main course, they were like, everyone's full. We're thinking we had to enjoy it. We had a few pieces of this and that. But oh, yeah, I'm done. We're not the enjoyer. Our stomach is as size as this cup. And then we have food like this much. We're going to shove it in there or what? How much can we put in? It's a bag made out of skin. And then put it in. Here's the machine here. And there's a grinder in there. And then you grind it up. And then smoothen it up and then it goes down. Before that you have to put different types. Like halva. No, nobody here eats halva anymore. Like khichdi and paneer. And you chew it up. It goes down behind your tongue. It goes boom. It drops into the stomach. The same thing. You can eat mud. You can eat cow dung or a clay. It's all the same. Because once it passes the tongue, it's done. It turns into waste. But before that, you make big fuss. Oh, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. And you work so hard, you go to a restaurant, and you have spaghetti, you pick it up with the thing, and you drink. And it passes your tongue, it's all the same. You don't collect it out of the toilet. It smells bad. And we are thinking, wow. And you pay $100 for a meal, you go to the restaurant. So our body, his body is his things. We have to put this and this and that, so many things. Because it stinks. We didn't take shower for 2 days. Nobody wants me near you. Well, we think, wow, I'm so important. Well, your body is made out of gold or what? We're all the same. Body is the same. Just packaging. I remember a long time ago, in the 80s, we sit in this thing called limca. You all know from India, limca is a drink. And the bottle is like this. And then my friend, he bought a big bottle of Coca-Cola, this size bottle. Like 2-3 liters in it. And we all sat around, he said, he was giving to all of us like a charmita. He said, wow, Coca-Cola, and what is that? And this is from UK. I said, wow, can I have some more? I drank the stuff, was like, I almost threw up. The taste was awful. It's not like drinking lassi, or mango lassi or something. And they were making big fuss about it. You know, you take the yogurt and you put mango and rose syrup and you blend it up so heavily. You can drink cup after cup if it's summertime. And I had a sip of Coca-Cola, I was like, where's that? Where's that enjoy? So my point is the packaging. So I was looking at the bottle. It was like this and like that. So wow, that's amazing. In India we are very simple. We don't spend money on those useless things. Only for God. We have a temple made out of gold, not just a jewelry so you can wear any body made out of skin and blood. It's for God. So then we're looking at it, said, this is from UK, not in India, okay? So okay. And now here I'm living here in Australia. I was just fed up with all those things. I just want a simple life. Simple pusharam, simple everything. I wish I could go on a bullock cart. In a bullock cart? A simple cart, it doesn't go fast, very slow, and people singing in the cart. And it's very good life. You come here, everybody's in the car, zoom, zoom, zoom. You get a headache. Your life air is going out of your body. So we are meant to take it easy. Nobody wears bare feet anymore. Because you wear shoes and we are meant to touch the body onto the earth. When you walk on the grass, green grass, you get energy from the grass. The dew, there's a dew come from the sky. That touches the skin, you get energy, vibrations. It's very good for your health. But nobody even want to walk on the earth. They wear shoes everywhere. And then before that they have socks. And they have two socks if it's cold. And then we're getting sick. I went to see a doctor. They said, oh, because you don't have enough vitamin D in you. Because our jacket and everything can't be me. So my point is, our life becomes like a machine, artificial life. Even if you say thank you, that's not one drop of smile in you. Thank you. What's that? Because we are so full of anxiety, we find it hard to even smile. That's why they have laughing yoga and then comedy to make you laugh. The world is full of become like machines. They're even making movies now, all machine movies. Everything computerized. Imagine we do the arati to Krishna. We don't need pujari anymore. Just bring in the computer, robot. Chanting, you know, everything very quick. Just a repetition. Photoshop. Double it. So where is the bhakti in that? So the more we have material things, more anxiety we're going to end up with. Devotees are happy with chanting Hare Krishna. Devotees are happy with little things in life. That little thing is a big thing because Krishna is in it. You know, this Ambarish Maharaj, he was a great devotee of Krishna, and he drank Charanamrita. That's considered a breakfast, so he drank Charanamrita. He thought he was breaking the fast. So Durvasa Muni, he said, you drank the Charanamrita before you offered to me. So he was really angry. He was chasing him. He created a demon to kill him. Then Ambarish Maharaj was just chanting Hare Krishna. He is not afraid. The day that Sudarshan Chakra was sent by Lord Vishnu Narayana to chase him all over the planet. And Ambarish Maharaj was standing there 1 year before he came back, the Vashmani came back to him. So my point is that this is a story in the Bhagavatam. I'm just telling you, I didn't go in detail. So he takes shelter of Krishna, he will take care of us. He will always protect us. He will take care of us in every way. When we want so many things, then we have to work for it. We're not happy with material things, you work, you will not be happy. Because when you get it, some other problems will come. That's why, less you have, be satisfied with it. And some people, they're married, and then they break up, then they again and again, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times. It's like having, you know, this water from Melbourne tap, and tip it out, you get water from Sydney tap. Tip it out, you get water from Delhi. Tip it out, water from, you know, Tasmania. It's the same thing. You're trying to enjoy the life in different cups. It's the same thing that is in it. But you think that it's getting better. So my point is the packaging. It all looks good. So we have to refine our character, our behavior. What we are putting inside. Are we putting Krishna consciousness in our head, in our consciousness, or are we putting rubbish? So it's a subtle point. We need to understand life, human life is meant for austerity, it's meant for cultivating God consciousness, meant for developing spiritual knowledge. How to end suffering? So the whole world designed to to end the suffering. Okay, you have a cut with band-aid. You have indigestion, take Enol or something like that, or some medicine. You have headache, take Panadol. You have anxiety, call 9 this number, Lifeline. You have, I had anxiety, the devotee says, be Bhagavatam. I read Bhagavatam now. Makes sense. I read the scriptures. We don't need to run to the psychiatrist. Because they themselves have problems. And then they're telling you. It's like my hands are tied. How can I untie your hand? Isn't it? That's what it is actually. So Bhagavatam is a solution. Spiritual knowledge is a solution. Krishna consciousness is the solution to all problems. There's no problem in the world. We create problems. You know, 1970s, you can go to India and drink water from the river. Here too. They said, oh, don't drink water now from the river. Now. Because there's so much chemical. Before you can drink, you have to drink bottled water. This Bisleri. I went to India. I was okay for 3 days. Because I drank coconut water. And then they said, you drink this Bisleri water, this bottled water. As soon as I drank, I got sick. Because they fill it up with tap water. They put Bisleri water. They're cheating. My point is, what God has given us is already natural. We are making it unnatural. Isn't it? Krishna didn't have a coconut in the tree with the bottled water in it. It's natural. God is not cheating us. We are trying to cheat God. God gave us the sunlight and the moonlight. We are giving the electric bill. I have paid for this bill. $500. And go to hell, I'm not paying that much. Argue back. So we need to wake up to understand why there is all these things. She said, oh, you Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. That's all you know it. You don't have any intelligence. Only the intelligent people chant Hare Krishna, actually. If you talk to any of us, we have an answer for you. Even a small kid can tell you the truth that they're scratching their head to find out for many years. A small Hare Krishna kid can tell you that easily. We have the truth. Yeah. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to everything. Krishna conscious philosophy is the answer to everything. Have any questions? Yes.
Thanks for that, sir. You're telling that the water in India and the water in Melbourne is the same. But actually, if you drink the water in Melbourne, you feel good, you know. Like when you drink the water in India, you get sick. So it's not the same.
Okay. He didn't hear what I said afterwards. He heard only that part. He didn't hear what I said later on. So, there's two things in that. The point I was making is the enjoyment is the same. You are drinking a different cup. Okay, forget water, sweet rice. Okay. Yeah, sweet rice. Yeah. Sweet rice, so you put in a golden cup, then you take it out, put it in a stainless steel cup, made in Japan. And then you put in a copper cup, but what it contains is the same. That's my point. Second point is, of course, if you wish, you can put some sand in the sweet rice. That's up to you. So, originally the water in India is good. Some guy at the back smoking and he put in, you know, some clear, dirty water. The water itself is clean. Everywhere you go. But whether Australia or India, the water is water. Somebody is dirtying it. That's the point. So originally, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavinaya Shabanadi Shivasparada. We Krishna consciousness is already innate within all of us. Shravanadi, we can uncover that by hearing and chanting. So we can purify our soul. That process of purification is chanting Hare Krishna. It's associated with this. Just like that water. You can purify it. So I when I used to go to India, everybody told me, you take the water tablet, purifier tablet. So I took one in India and they said, Prabhu, that's very offensive. You take Ganges water, it's already here. Because what they did, they bring the Ganges water from the middle of the Ganges and they deliver to all the houses. Because the most pure water in India is the Ganges water, because it's flowing. But the government, they send water in the tap, that's the worst water. Nobody drinks that. So, yeah, so that's my point. It's not that, you know, we have a different enjoyment. It's just the same way. Other questions? Only going to be a very serious question, not kids' question. Yes. What's the question?
Mike is not back.
Oh, Mike.
That we get party from our previous life. But
you forgot the question. You can ask me later when you remember it. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for that. My question is that, you know, when we get attacked from the plunderers and they
attack.
When we get attacked from plunderers, like how to protect ourselves from, you know, vicious people?
Fight them back. That's one way. Plunderers. Government is plunderers. They are plunderers, but we need to. You see, we are living in Kali Yuga. Before, the people were the priestly class, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas. We didn't have to work. Government take care. We just do puja service, Brahmanical work, priest, Krishna consciousness, government, the Vaishnavas. But now, nobody cares about the devotees. You have to get it. If you have family, you said, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and boom, you know, you get your money coming on the table. No, you have to work. But we have to live the life, what you can do. Government doesn't recognize us. So, as devotees, we can accept everything that comes to us at the same time, be Krishna conscious, and we can't argue with the materialistic people. Then everything has place for everything. Somebody will deal with that. So, the main way that we are plunderers to ourselves, and when we are not becoming Krishna conscious, we are not associated with the devotees, when we are not chanting Hare Krishna, we are not studying Prabhupada's books, we are plunderers. Because we are trying to plunder the material energy. Bhagavad Gita says, we are trying to lord over the material nature. Lord over the material nature. That's what we're trying to do, even us. So, forget fighting Maya, forget all this. Just take shelter of Krishna. If a big, big wave comes, huge waves, you know, I always go swimming in the sea. Like there's big waves, sometimes small waves, big waves. So it's huge, big waves, you don't go, nobody goes into the water. They tell you, too big. So there's reasonable waves, then everyone's catching waves, body surfing, and then surfing on the surfboard. I love it. I go sometimes, it goes very far where they have waves. So this huge wave come. Okay, I gotta go. What's gonna happen? And you're right there. If you don't know what to do, you're gonna kill yourself. So you go underneath, jump underneath, and you come out of the back. You can't fight it. So one time, he had to time everything, and I couldn't get on time yet. And I was in the sand. I hurt my back. I couldn't actually break my body. So we are trying to fight the material nature. That's impossible. If you take shelter of Krishna and let Him deal with it. So material world is a very dangerous place. We can't fight back the material nature, but Krishna says, those who take charge of me, I protect them. He will take charge of it. So when you're talking about some issue, like between you, some other devotee, or your boss, or some government issue, then you have to deal with that. But when you're talking about material nature, the working with the material nature is very difficult. We have to simply take shelter of Krishna. What you can do? It's like a big, huge, gigantic person attack you. He's just running. He doesn't hang around. Unless you know how to fight back. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, you were taking time, okay? One second. Okay?
So, just back to the verse, you know, it talks about how the, like, government men, or I guess people in general, are not very truthful, and they have the tendency to cheat in Kali Yuga. So, I was just wondering, you know, in Bhagavatam it says the four legs of Dharma, the only one left standing, like, half-standing is truthfulness.
Yeah.
Why does it say that's standing? Because I feel it, you know, it's even fallen compared to austerity or mercifulness.
Okay. Well, it says that that's the only thing that's a little bit left, truthfulness. But like you said, that even that's gone, very little truthfulness. Because Bhagavatam, at that time when it was written, at that time, there was much more truthfulness than all the other things. So according to the places. So it's diminishing gradually. So right now, the truthfulness is hardly any. So at that time, all the three things among the truthfulness was the only one that was still strong. People can trust people. But now, even truthfulness is gone. That's why you're saying it. So it's true what Bhagavatam says is because that time, but Kali Yuga is speeding up, and even the truthfulness is losing. It's people are not truthful. Even sometime like us, okay. I'm just saying in general. Sometimes we don't finish our rounds or something, and he's very tired. He had a very long day, and he didn't get any rounds done, and he's already 10 at night, still have a few rounds to do. So I said, I can't finish the rounds, I have to sleep. So I'm telling my own experience. We have promises to our spiritual master, we need to chant 16 rounds every day. So unless we can, if you didn't finish your 16 rounds, and like I said, we had a whole day, and just before you're already tired, and still have two rounds. So I said, I'll finish it tomorrow. I make up for it, then after hours. So I go to sleep, and I can't sleep. Oh no, I'm tired. So I'm thinking to myself, hey, you want to sleep without finishing rounds? And then, you know, I'm getting the message. So sometime I get up, and I finish the rounds, before 12, before that day is finished. So, you have to be truthful to yourself. So many things may be said, but we need to be truthful to ourselves. You can, when you are truthful to yourself, then when you speak the truth, it becomes truthful. Because there is Shakti in it. There is this potency. So if you're not truthful and you're telling everybody to be truthful, there's no power in that. It's just a joke. So that's why when you are truthful about Krishna consciousness, actually the real truth is to be Krishna conscious. Everything else is not truthful. You know, everyone's lying. Even they're writing in the package, this. They're putting other things, they're not telling you. They write in a way to make you tricky. So there's all lying. Business is all lying. Businessman is lying. So everyone's lying. So the real truth is absolute truth. Truth about God. When you chant Hare Krishna, so at least when we are amongst the devotees, we feel satisfied because the devotees tell us the truth. If I'm not being truthful to you, I'll feel guilty myself. Inside you feel hurt, and that's not healthy. Sometime another day time you will feel, you will be lingering in your mind, I told a lie. I remember when I was this kid's age, there's a description of hellish planet. And they said, if you're not truthful, they cut your tongue. They have different pictures of different things. And I was lying all the time. So then I look at that and said, oh my God. Then I took it very seriously. I started to be truthful. And very difficult to be truthful. Because when you're a kid, everything is, you have to be lying to get stuff you need. So then those pictures made me serious. I never want to lie. And I saw, I want money, I saw this big money on the floor. So no, I had to be truthful. So I didn't take it. So I was trying to be very, very serious. And they take it who it belongs to. Even though I want it, I try to give back. So people will appreciate when you be truthful. So sometimes Bhagavatam says it, but at that time, like I said, that time the truthfulness was less. So it was more. So at least the truthfulness was there. But now, very little. So as the time goes, Kali Yuga, there will be very hardly any truthfulness. You know, this is why even the Western people, they say, be transparent. Don't lie. Everybody knows that. Yes?
Prabhu said that we get to hear of mental misery according to our last
writing. I have to say it again.
Okay. Prabhu said that from our previous birth we get material opulence and misery. So then why do devotees have to earn and go to work when they're getting everything from Krishna and mercy?
Kids ask very smart questions. When I was in school, Gurukul, they said everybody had to ask questions. And I couldn't think of questions so quickly, so you're down. Because they said, if you ask questions, it's a sign of intelligence. No, like, I need time, you know. I have to prepare, I need time. I can't just ask questions. You know, but some kids are very smart. Of course. Previous life, whatever we do in the previous life, it comes back in this life. But we forget, when you serve Krishna, he can reduce the karma. Actually, that's very true. I'll tell you a story. I went on Sankirtan with one devotee. That devotee was a very nice devotee. We were in the street selling stuff. And they didn't know we were Hare Krishna. So, I was one side of the road and he was on the other side of the road. Suddenly I see police car with light flashing and all this police and my friend is there. I thought, oh my God, what's happening? And so I went over there. So they handcuffed my friend. He became a Hare Krishna devotee and he had $15,000 fine on him for drugs, this, that. And he became a devotee. So it was all in their system. So then I called the temple and they said, yeah. So that time, that was 1980s, they said, we don't have the money. We have the money, but we don't have to pay for his fines. $15,000, that's a lot of money at that time. So they said, you need to go to jail for 3 days. And so I paid off. I said, wow, that's fantastic. So the devotee was really, really happy. He said, oh, I don't get enough sleep. I can chant my rounds. And I can rest for 3 days, and we're bringing Gosharam from him, food from the temple. So he had a really good time in the jail for 3 days, and all the fines were paid for. I reckon they don't have that anymore, because if they start doing that, they're going to lose money. A lot of people have big fines. They used to do that at that time. And so, my point is, Krishna can reduce the karma for us. Big fine, a little bit. So, if you, like sometimes, like they said, if your head needs to be chopped off, Krishna just gives you, it's reduced to a slap instead of big punishments. Krishna is merciful. That means we have to surrender to Him. We come up with big karma on our head. previous life. One guy saw my hand. It's not a long time ago. They said, you have killed thousands of people in your past life. I said, I'm the coolest guy. I never hurt anyone. I'm very peaceful. How can I hurt people? But no, in the last life. They said, so I have to punish. They said, no, you were in the army. You killed people for the government. I said, oh, that's all right. So, if you're doing it for Krishna, and then suddenly you think, I'm going to do it for myself, then there's karma. So you go in a war and you kill so many people, there's no reaction for that. You don't have to be punished for that. But as soon as you come, when the war is over, you kill one person, you're punished for that, you have to go to the prison, right? So when you work for Krishna, he reduces the karma. Krishna says, I take your karma. But of course not killing people, but devotional service. So the only way we can purify ourselves is through serving Krishna. Only the government has the power to reduce your reactions. So Krishna has the power to reduce our karma. Not Shiva, not Ganesh. They don't have the power. Only Krishna. That's another reason to serve Krishna. The demigod, they can give you good health, good wife, and so many things, material things. They don't have the power to reduce your karma. Only Krishna conscious. Chani Hare Krishna. Okay. You have any questions?
I do actually have a question, if that's all right. Thank you for the class. Very engaging. I'm just wondering, how did our soul, because you spoke about our soul being asleep. You spoke about our soul being asleep. How are we born with our soul asleep? And how did it become asleep?
I have to have a separate class for you. The soul sleep means, it's just like you take a gold and it's in the dirt years and years, it gets rusty, but gold is gold. You can clean it up and it's very useful, and you can trade it in, and you go to the gold nugget, you know, you get your trade it in. So the soul is soul, it's pure, but the soul is covered in ignorance. It's stuck in this body. That's why people kill themselves. They say, oh, I'm going to now free myself. But they are not freeing themselves. They are going to get stuck again in another body. So understand, waking up the soul means waking up to our knowledge, to understand, true knowledge. It's not like if I say, beat your head, take a big hammer and hit your head. It's not like you're going to hit your head, you're not going to have any head, because you'll break your head. So it means to understand the truth internally, to understand that we are stuck in here. So there is a process for everything. The process is cleansing it, the process. Cleanse the heart. Check the dharmanam. The heart is dirty. How do you clean the heart? It's not the way you can get soap and clean the heart. Through chanting, through mantra, meditation, through a very subtle process that cleanses internal system, our mind and consciousness. Just like before, I used to swear a lot when I was a kid. So we had an assembly, all the kids, they said, you, come here. So they have these leaves in India, it's neem leaves, it's very bitter. One leaf you eat, So they said, they give me a big handful of leaf. I had to chew it and keep it in the mouth in front of everybody. And you're not allowed to spit it out, you can drink it in. But it's actually very cleansing. It cleanses the blood. People take it one or two leaves a day. So it's not like you hit yourself. So there's a process to cleanse the soul. To cleanse the soul is through chanting. The soul is stuck in this body. So when you say, wake up the soul. Waking up means waking up to our knowledge, to wake up to the spiritual understanding, waking up to the truth, absolute truth. There's no truth here. They are, everyone's lying. They say, you can enjoy here. That's what I was telling you. Maya is weakling. And he go for it, and like the fly, he died. So, waking up means to the realities of life. Like fish out of water. They're trying, we have fish out of water. We have everything we need, but we are not in our state of life, where we belong, our home in the spiritual world. Here we are artificially where we try to enjoy. The soul is stuck in this body, and that is the problem. The problem is the body. So we kill the body. No, we have to purify the body. This body belongs to Krishna. Bhumi Rabona Labaya. Krishna says there are elements the body is made out of, material elements. We didn't create them in a factory. The elements, the material elements, is His energy. So that energy is a material energy. It's temporary. What's eternal is a soul. Whether it's material or spiritual, it's all coming from Krishna. It's this flesh and bone. We didn't create it. So this is Krishna's external energy, material energy. So Krishna says both material and spiritual come from Me. He's the creator of both. But we defy God. So He put us in this material condition, in this material element, which is His energy, but it's temporary and suffering. So here in the temple, we have the scriptures to wake up. Ah, yeah, okay, I belong in the spiritual world. So we're understanding through this absolute truth. This is the real truth. So we are like the guru, the spiritual master, the teacher. They tell us these things. They don't tell in the school. They say, oh, economic development, get a job. But they're telling you to entangle yourself. But they're not telling you the real truth of life. They're not telling you you're a fish out of water. You know. So we are telling you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's much more to say. I'm just briefing it to you. These people here from India, they all know everything. They all are from India. But that is the problem. They know too much and they don't do it. Where Australians, they don't know much, but they're very serious to know. And when they know it, they take it up. Where from India, I already know. They don't know nothing about it. That's the problem. So our devotees, they sell books in the street, they tell you. In India, I have the book. I got it. I have many. They can sell them. We're selling books to Aussies, like yourself and many others. I'm not just putting them down, but I'm just telling the truth. The absolute truth. And they're not offended because they're all very advanced devotees. They never get angry. Okay, Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.